puts it in! The U.S. go up! What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra!
Boyd will try a long hit! What a goal from Lloyd! This is spectacular! It's hit with no regard for humanity! Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is! Switzerland! And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute! That was worth the price of admission alone!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome into Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. As always, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. We are on the air, and the number to call in tonight, as always, 713-780-3776. That's 713-780-ESPN. And we'll take your calls on anything soccer-related. And if you were amongst the 80,000 last night at Energy Stadium like I was to see the world's greatest rock and roll band, yes, the Rolling Stones. I don't like them too much. But if you were there, would love your take on it. It was a fun night. A lot of interesting things we could maybe talk about with that. I probably should have brought Quinn from Cactus Music on tonight. He was there as well. Ran into a lot of people there. It was a happening for sure. It was a tremendous amount of fun. So if you got a take on the Stones, 713-780-3776. Cool thing about having the opening night of the tour in Houston is that, you know, you can sit around and speculate like I was just doing with producer Brian McDonald about the other day. I think Jeremy and Joel were on the air talking about, okay, what's going to be the opening song? And, it's usually got to be a big staple, right? It's either probably Start Me Up, which it ended up being. But you don't know, and you don't know what the set list is. Now, everybody who's in other markets around the country has now looked at the set list of what happened in Houston, and they're going, okay, what will they maybe change? And so it's cool. It's fun. The generational turnover of fans is cool. I'm looking around at that. And when you see people that are older, these are benchmarks in your life, right? Certain songs, music, bands, things like that. And as you get older, especially when you got a band that's been around for 60 years with an 80-year-old lead singer who still looks like he's moving around like he was in the 80s. It's pretty crazy. But that's it, and it'll be different for different people. And when you're younger, you're gonna have different benchmarks of what your band is. But what is cool is that their music's so timeless and so good, and the writing and everything and the lyrics is that a lot of young people are into it. So it was tremendous fun, and we'll take calls on that. And maybe talk a little bit about that tonight. 713-780-3776. Streaming at ESPN975.com. By the way, Gary Clark Jr. out of Austin, who's a tremendous guitar player, he opened up for the Rolling Stones, and he was excellent. I made sure I was there to see his entire set as well. So it was fun. Leicester City's been promoted. Real Madrid's Florentino Perez making the rounds in Austin and Dallas. U.S. Soccer and Mexico have withdrawn their bid to co-host the 2027 World Cup for women, Women's World Cup, and they're going to focus on 2031, probably to get things in order. So that's pretty interesting. Guillermo behind the glass, as always, here tonight, and we got a lot to talk about when we get in to this show. We got Houston Dynamo to talk about in the next segment. Let's start it off, though, with Arsenal and Spurs. North London Derby this weekend. Arsenal jumped out to a 3-0 lead, would hang on to win 3-2, but they're keeping the pressure on Manchester City in the Premier League. Here's Kai Havertz. This is the third goal. Ultimately, the game winner in the 38th minute would put him up 3-0 at that point.
And the header makes it 3. And Kai Havertz, almost apologetic as he jogs very gently towards the corner flag.
Arteta, the manager, on Kai Havertz. By the way, they are keeping the pressure on City. It's not over yet.
It was sensational in every department today. He was, and he wasn't as his 100%. He was ill before the match. he was a bit struggling, and still he put the performance that he's putting. I thought he was unbelievable today.
All right, let's go on to Manchester City. They got a 2-0 win over relegation battling Nottingham Forest. They have the historic back-to-back European Cup winners many, many years ago under Brian Clough. Here is Erling Haaland, who needed a goal in the 71st minute.
Now then, here is Erling Haaland. He's done well! He's done wonderfully well! Woo-hoo! Erling Haaland, the super sub today!
Pep Guardiola, post-match.
The last 20 minutes, 30 minutes, when we have the ball with Bernardo, we were not tired. When we don't have the ball, we look really, really tired. We lost a lot of balls and simple ones and allowed to make a transitions, but the players were really, really good, offering, and at the end we did it. Second half was much better because before the second goal, we got the game in our hands. Before, all the game was so dangerous, and in certain moments, they were much, much better than us.
Certain moments, they were much, much better than us, as he was talking about Nottingham Forest. Speaking of Forest, Gio Reyna came in the game, was not a starter in this one. Neither was Matt Turner, both on the bench for Nottingham Forest, for those that are keeping a watch on Gio Reyna. So there's what you got. City still, I believe, has a game in hand. And that's what you got going on in the Premier League. Liverpool, on the other hand, rough weekend for them. And I think a lot of people are very focused in on an altercation between Mo Salah and Jurgen Klopp, and an altercation that people don't want to see have happen as they are transitioning out of him being there. So we knew there was going to be two ways this would go. Either it would be the rallying cry, everybody about Jurgen Klopp, let's leave on a high note with him, and it hasn't worked out that way. So it's kind of going in the other direction, and I think it was something to do with Mo Salah not maybe addressing the manager a little bit more respectfully when he was going into the game. Not the best of times for Liverpool right now, and they're hoping that they can get things turned around a little bit. All right, going to Major League Soccer, Inter Miami. So they drew a massive crowd. Hey, hey, you get off of my cloud. Okay, that's the song. That's why cloud's on my mind. So back to the draw. Over 60,000 for Leo Messi in New England, Foxborough, which is out in the hinterlands, as you know. Guillermo knows they're coming here to play Tigres. Look, the Messi factor is still alive and well. I mean, there might have been a little bit of a stagger and a stumble with Monterrey in the CONCACAF Champions Cup, but the power of Messi is still on display.
And then all it takes is the one little run in behind. Taylor's in.
Taylor, no!
So it ends up being 4-1. Luis Suarez in the 88th, who continues to score goals.
I'd argue there's a virus going through Major League Soccer by the name of Lionel Messi.
Here he is to Suarez!
Oh, my word. Stop it!
Stunning from Suarez!
No, they're not stopping it. They've been piling it on throughout MLS. Again, everybody thought, okay, we'll see. You know, some of these older guys are going to get tired, and they will, and they're going to have to be managed properly. I mean, we're only a couple months in, but, I mean, he's guaranteed goals every game. So back to Foxborough, which is where Robert Kraft has had the Patriots and the Revolution for so long, and the Revolution play on artificial surface. And it's, if you haven't been there, it's a long drive from Logan Airport. It's a long, pretty long drive from Boston proper, for sure. I think it's got to be like close to an hour, 50 minutes. It's out there. They have had their attendance issues over the years. And there was always this, you know, oh, they're going to build a stadium downtown. And, you know, you constantly get this put out. And I think the organization probably put it out on purpose to make it look like they were trying to get a stadium. As long as Robert Kraft owns the team, you have to remember there's Patriot Place there, which is a bunch of stores, establishments, restaurants, hotel. And they want the dates so that people go into these businesses and spend their money there. So I don't see this stadium going into Boston. There were plans and talk of certain tracts of land and all this. And we all know the stadium process involves a lot of money changing hands, involves a lot of politics. But I would think when you've got all those tenants out there, they are not going to want to all of a sudden know that, you know, 20-plus dates are going to be gone, certainly 17 league games and exhibitions and everything else. Where their establishments will have a crowd in and around there. So I'm not buying this. There's going to be a stadium in downtown Boston. Took a long time to get it done in New York City, for sure. Guillermo, little thoughts on Leo Messi and what he's doing in Major League Soccer, and the hype does not die.
No, sir, it does not die. You know, like how you said, there was a little bit of a stumble because of injury and stuff like that, but now he's back, and it really looks like he's just having fun with his friends. It's not fair for the league.
You know, I was telling Guillermo, and it's kind of like the Stones last night. You got an 80-year-old singer. You're not really thinking he is because you've seen him move around and jump around and work crowds, and his vocals are still good. I mean, you've seen guys lose it. David Lee Roth, Roger Daltrey, some of these great historic vocalists can't sing anymore. He can still sing. He can still move. And that's what you have to have in a lead man. And it's pretty remarkable to see people that are like veterans at their craft. But I had a moment because I was in the pit where I looked up and I took a little video. I tried not to take too many because I don't want to be that guy, but I did take some. And, I took the video and then I looked back at it later. And it had like a smile on his face, just like, man, I'm having so much fun. Like, it was almost like he broke character a little bit. Guy was having a great time. And you know what? For the over 50 crowd to see an 80-year-old rocking it out, that is motivational. That is motivational. Especially when the tour is sponsored by AARP, which is even funnier. And I said to my brother, I mean, come on, they have a new rum called Crossfire Hurricane. They're the bad boys of rock and roll. AARP, come on. Anyway, it was a great concert. All right, so I've said that three times. Guillermo, before we hit break here, I want to talk about the Mexican League playoffs because top six teams are in. Then you got 7, 8, 9, 10. These have a single game playoff. But we know we have Rayados and Tigres, but take us into it a little bit so my and our listeners can understand.
Yeah, so the 7 through 10 are getting a one-game play-in. So the first play-in match is Pachuca versus Pumas. The second play-in match is Necaxa against Querétaro. They both play on Thursday. So the winner of Pachuca-Pumas plays against América. The winner of Necaxa-Querétaro plays against Cruz Azul. So these playoffs are definitely going to be very interesting, especially considering the fact that Pachuca is playing against Club America in the CONCACAF Champions 2 days right before the play-in match.
I mean, Rayados and Tigres. I mean, that's going to have we're going to be drawing battle lines here in Houston for that. I mean, what a matchup that is. Excited about the Mexican League playoffs. Excited about the Dynamo in St. Louis coming up this weekend. And then the following Tuesday, the Dynamo in the Open Cup, the defending champions, will be taking on Detroit City FC. We're going to get Danny Diccio, the head coach. We're going to get him on the show. And by the way, you'll remember him. He was the first ever goal scorer for Toronto FC when they came in to Major League Soccer. All right, quick shout out here. A couple of great places to watch games. Start with Pitch 25 in downtown Houston in Edo. 2120 Walker, right in the shadows of Shell Energy Stadium. With Copa America coming up this summer, the Euros, qualifying, Olympics, so much soccer going on. We're going to talk a little bit later with David Fletcher of Lone Star Sports and Entertainment to get updated on everything going on that's coming through Houston when it comes to soccer. But get down to Pitch 25. It's 100 beers indoor soccer facility. You want the feeling of being at the game and in and around people. It is Pitch 25 Beer Park, Edo, downtown. And they're proud sponsors of this show, as well as Hugh O'Connor's Pub out on I-10 in the Marquee Entertainment Center. Get over there. Great whiskey offerings there. Great traditional British pub food. Bangers and mash. They got it all there. Shepherd's pie. Get in there. Say hello to Goose. And enjoy Hugh O'Connor's in the I-10 Marquee Entertainment Center. It is an outstanding pub. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk some Houston Dynamo. How are we going to solve this goal-scoring problem? That is next.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. The great state of New Jersey, where I grew up, the Garden State. A shout out to Larry from Kicks and Sticks, which is a soccer and lacrosse store. That my niece and nephew used to go to a lot. Larry apparently listens to the show a lot, so thanks for that, Larry. It's good to have listeners around the country and certainly in the great soccer-playing and lacrosse state of New Jersey. That's Larry from Kicks and Sticks. Quick one here to remind you. You've got Brazil, Mexico. June 8th, College Station, Kyle Field. Pretty amazing. You also have Copa America, we got Mexico and Jamaica, we got Colombia, Paraguay, which, by the way, that's one I would really focus on if I were you. You wanted a World Cup feel. Then you would potentially get Argentina here if they win their group in a knockout stage game. Then it's on to Inter Miami and Tigres in the month of August in the Leagues Cup, which was moved here 100% because of the support of Tigres in this community and in the city of Houston and the state of Texas. 713-780-3776, the number to call in. 713-780-3776.
There's a lot of strange stuff that happens in the world of soccer.
It's clear something strange is happening.
So much so that Glenn ended up buying out a theater to showcase all of the weird stuff. It's time for Glenn's Theater of the Bizarre. Ooh.
All right, Barcelona against Valencia this weekend. Barca leading 1-0 Valencia. There's a long through ball played over the top. They were trying to target their farthest guy up the field in Hugo Duro. Ter Stegen, we all know him, the German international goalkeeper for the one and only Barcelona, comes out, gets very cute with it. It doesn't work out well. It's a really bizarre choice. He tries to chip the ball over Duro. He succeeds in knocking the ball right into his chest, and from there, Duro gladly accepts the charitable gift and passes the ball into the empty net. It makes it 1-1, but Ter Stegen's error would fortunately be overcome as a hat-trick from Robert Lewandowski would ultimately give Barcelona a 4-2 win over Valencia. But this was a bizarre choice by Ter Stegen.
You don't have to be predictable. You don't have to just cut inside always.
I think he's onside here. I think he was played on by Koundé. Oh, what a miss! What a miss by Ter Stegen, and it's 1-1. Captain Chaos at the back.
Yep, that was weird.
That was weird. What a mess. He was called Captain Chaos. But you know what? When you make a mistake like that, your teammates bail you out. Lewandowski with a hat trick. And we all know now that Xavi is going to remain in charge. So that's I think, something that is a good thing. All right. There's two sound bites I want to play from Caitlin Clark. And this is just some – I just think this is stuff that needs to be heard from an athlete. Here's Caitlin Clark, who's just lighting it up for women's sports and women's basketball, on being coached. Listen carefully to this. If maybe you're a youth soccer player or somebody that's, you know, being coached at any level.
What I love about Coach Bluder is, like, she coaches me, but she knows, like, when I'm not giving my best, like, that's what's going to make me play really, really hard. Like, there's other people that maybe can't take that, but that's what I want, and I embrace that. I never want to stop being coached. I never want to stop being told what's right, what's wrong, no matter how good I play, how bad I play. Like, there's always things to learn, things to get better at, and that's what I love about her is she holds me to a very high standard, and she's going to get on me because she knows there's still areas for me to improve.
Got to love that, because now the out for student-athletes is the portal. So if you don't get along with your coach, you can jump ship in a New York minute. So I don't know how good that is for the player-coach relationship, but I think she's making the point there that it doesn't always go perfectly with the coach, and they are going to push you. They are going to prod you. Here's Caitlin Clark giving advice to the younger generation.
Set up my entire career is like nobody really believed other than myself. I think confidence. I think as a young girl, like just have confidence. A young boy, have confidence in yourself and confidence in whatever you want to be. And I think that was the thing my parents instilled in me from a young age is like they never told me no. They told me no a lot about other things, but not in what I wanted to do and what I wanted to be and you know the goals I wanted to chase after. And I would say that's the biggest thing is you know. You can say it, you got to work for it, you got to earn it. You don't ever want anything to be given to you. And I think that's what I'm most proud of throughout my career is like I've worked really hard to be in this moment. And that's where my confidence comes from. And I think that's the biggest piece of advice I'd give to the younger generation.
All this wisdom coming from a 22-year-old, it really is quite remarkable. She used the word no there, not no to your dreams, but her parents told her no. I think if you're going to be a high-level athlete, you have to know how to use the word no, because you will have to say no to a lot of things if you want to stay focused on your dream, if it's to go to a high level in sports and or anything for that matter. But, I mean, that's just music to our ears. That's great stuff. All right, the Houston Dynamo. April has not been the best of months. The Dynamo at home got beat by Austin FC 1-0. And then turned around and had another game, another Texas Derby game against FC Dallas. So let's just do a recap of that game, and then I'm going to give an overview of what I think is kind of this month of April. Here's Petar Musa, who is a transfer signed from Benfica. He gets the opening goal in the 55th minute.
Fortuitous deflection.
Musa the turn!
Well, for the moment, and here's the thing. 5 minutes in, red card to the Houston Dynamo. Griffin Dorsey would get this, and it was an obvious denial of a goal-scoring opportunity. I don't understand how people are saying this is not a red card. Ben Olsen said it was a red card. It was a red card. Let's go back to the source of the problem 5 minutes in. It's an overall team mistake that caution. You've been one of the best defending teams in the entire league. You got sucked to one side of the field. You did not get pressure on the ball. Farfan got in behind Griffin Dorsey. Escobar didn't get out fast enough. Now, I don't know if Dorsey was holding his ground hoping Escobar was going to get there, so this player would be in an offside position. Either way, it was a mess, and that's why you had a guy sent off. It was obvious. And then Iyarramendi, who played well over 200 games, ton of games in La Liga in Spain, went off the post. And the Dynamo actually, I think in the first 45 minutes, with 10 men, their attack was more dangerous to me on three or four occasions in transition through Aliyu. It never had the end product. FC Dallas, you couldn't even figure out how they were trying to attack, quite frankly. But then they found their way a little bit in the second half, and that's when Musa scored in the 55th. By the way, his touch after the entry ball away from defenders was excellent, but to not cut that pass out and leave that sea of an opening to play that ball in there wasn't great. So in the 80th minute, another goal. This comes from delivery from Sam Junka, who used to be on the Houston Dynamo, to a former Dynamo Academy product, Sebastian Ibiaga. He scores via the head in the 80th minute.
Kamungo, Junka, Ibiaga! The former Houston Academy man about to dot the I in victory for Dallas.
So this one hurt because it's Austin and Dallas. It should hurt. We don't want to lose to those teams. Lost 3 out of 4 in this month. And it was a very tough month. Here's Ben Olsen.
You guys gave everything. It's hard to play that long down a man against a, you know, against any team in this league. We held, we bent, we had maybe one or two chances, but it's what it is. You're going to have a game like this in the season where you get a red card and things don't go your way. So maybe we'll get it out of the way. But again, the effort was there. We're trying to pull a rabbit out of a hat today, and it just didn't go for us. And I'm critical of the referee. I didn't think it's certainly a red. I don't have any issues with there, but there's a foul leading up to it. You know, again, a little sour grapes with that.
So the Dynamo, two straight Texas Derby matches, and these are prideful for the fan base, and there was a good traveling crowd up there. Have lost 3 of 4 in the month of April. They're held scoreless in their last two matches. No shots on goal against FC Dallas. Dynamo defending in this case couldn't hold out with 10 men, which again accents the need for goals to take the pressure off. Two straight games, you don't score a goal. You were far better than Austin FC. That was your best game of the month. You absolutely outplayed them in every facet of the game. You make one mistake and you lose the game. It just brings us to the position and the want and desire of goals. Like Ter Stegen, he can make a monster mistake in this world where goalkeepers play with their feet, but because they score 4 goals, it doesn't matter, and it's not as big a deal. The fifth-minute Griffin Dorsey sending off, Dynamo were hugely unbalanced, drawn to one side of the field. We talked about that. You get the 2 goals. But in 4 games in April, you've had 41 total shots in 4 games, 15 shots on target, which is less than 4 a game. Only 14 corners in 4 games. Now, this indicates to me, if we're doing a data drop down, you're not getting to the end line. You are a lot of times when you get into the attacking third, cutting inside in towards players because there's a lot of inverted play. Teams are now keying in on Griffin Dorsey. I think this red card's a good thing for Dorsey. I think he needs a break. I think he's been pushing. I think this break for him to just kind of reflect a little bit. He's also being keyed on. Everybody knows what he did to change this Dynamo team last year in the League's Cup. Him and Aliyu are the two guys they want to rub out. I don't think people are that concerned about Sebastian Kowalczyk and Amin Bassi scoring goals. They've only got one between the two of them, and they're playing as sort of withdrawn forwards. We're not yet playing with a striker, and everybody's holding out hope for Sebas Ferreira to come back and score goals. It's going to be tough, though, in an inverted, narrow team for him. I think this is a team that has been built beautifully, the Dynamo, on defending and holding possession. The goal-scoring position still hasn't been addressed. Now, there's ways this can happen. Somebody could emerge. We'll see. McKenzie Gaines doesn't have a history of scoring a lot of goals. He could penetrate. He could give you width. Sebas Ferreira now is all of a sudden injury-prone. We had a spark there. We thought he was going to be the answer. He still could be. Hector Herrera looked, honestly, he did not look comfortable. He did not look engaged. He did not look like he was bouncing upward after the first time he came back at home against Austin, where I thought that was a good start for him coming back, but he did not look engaged in this. We're talking redundancy here. I mean, this has always kind of been the question around the Dynamo, and I know everybody gets upset, the losses and things, but a lot of our frustration comes around the fact that not enough goals are being scored. Still one of the lowest scoring teams in the league. And scoring goals solves a lot of problems. It can mask a lot of deficiency. And quite frankly, the Dynamo don't make a lot of mistakes defensively, but they have this month, and it's shown up, and it's cost them games. Cost them a red card at the beginning of FC Dallas. It cost them the game when we didn't put a head on a long ball from Brad Stuver in a game that Austin FC had no business winning. You totally outplayed them. And then they go on and beat LA the next game, right? Go figure. On the other hand, is urgency really needed? 62% of the teams make the playoffs. The Dynamo could be lying in wait to make a move in an acquisition in the summer. But, I mean, you know, people are asking me, you know, give me hope. I mean, these are the things you're hoping for. Emergence of someone, the emergence of Sebas Ferreira. Hector Herrera is going to obviously increase chances, but you got to score goals. You don't have Corey Baird anymore. I mean, we talk about Corey Baird now like he's Robert Lewandowski with his 8 goals last year. And I mean that respectfully. I don't mean that in a bad way. If he was here, he's playing higher up the field. He's occupying center backs. He's pressing people. Acquisition in the summer. Pat Onstad was on. He talked about the potential of that. McKenzie Gaines. But he doesn't have a history of scoring a lot of goals. Doesn't mean things can't change, but I think we know the routine now. We know the strengths of this club, and they're going to be low-scoring games. And, you know, there's no must-win games at this stage of the season. You know, I hear announcers come on the air, it's a must-win game. No, it's not. I mean, I know we want to hype the games up and we want to be excited, but they're not must-win games. Maybe if you're Inter Miami because you got the pressure of Messi who needs to deliver. Bayern Munich, Real Madrid tomorrow. That's a good one. Then we got Dortmund and PSG. This was a beautiful song last night, a duet. Jagger did this with Lady Gaga, but not last night here. He had a backup singer that was very good. Bayern, a 40% chance to win tomorrow. 26% a draw. Real Madrid, a little lower. It's at Bayern, at Allianz. They've been a good defending team in the Champions League. They've got 3 straight shutouts. They got the 1-0 victory over Arsenal when Joshua Kimmich came on. Harry Kane's got 20 goals in 22 games in all competitions. Real Madrid, though, 18 unbeaten. And they always seem to get over on Bayern Munich in the Champions League. They're a 34% chance to win. I think we know what they're going to do. They're going to defend deep, and they're going to try to play in transition through Vinicius, Rodrigo, and Jude Bellingham, right? I mean, that's how they took out Man City. All right, so we got great Champions League stuff coming up. Dortmund, PSG as well, too. I'm pulling for Dortmund. I want an all-German final. Anybody like that out there? All-German final. Enough of Real Madrid. Enough of PSG. All right. Guillermo's in there shaking his head. He just wants Real Madrid out. He don't care about anything else, right? You just want to get rid of Real Madrid.
And PSG, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
So I want to see their Clásico as well.
Yeah, there's something about PSG, and I love Mbappe. I love his game. But even when Messi was there, I never tuned in to watch them. It was a weird thing, that revelation that I came to. I don't know what that was about when you have the quality of those players. But I never just got into that. Maybe somebody can call in and help me. All right, we're going to take a break here. Danish Inspirations, Modern Contemporary Furniture, the best in modern contemporary furniture. Coming up in the next segment, we're going to talk about an amazing amount of content coming our way. International soccer, David Fletcher, Lone Star Sports and Entertainment is up next.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Yeah, we got a little harp playing last night from Mick Jagger. You hear it here. This is a song called Love is Strong that came off the Voodoo Lounge album. And, yeah, what a night. What a night it was last night. That's kind of why I don't have much of a voice here tonight. But I'll tell you what, Energy Stadium, what a place for rock concerts. The Stones were the first band to open up Energy Stadium. I was at that show, too. I'm kind of like building my profile here a little bit like the ultimate Stones fan. But there are people that are worse than me, a lot worse. But this was a heck of a time last night. It was so much fun. People were just having a great time, all smiling. You know, the place was packed. It was packed. All right, as I welcome you back here, a couple of things just want to mention. Again, we talked about tomorrow the UEFA Champions League, and there's a lot of good games. Bayern and Real Madrid, not missing that one. Dortmund, PSG. Real quick note here before we get to our next guest, David Fletcher from Lone Star Sports and Entertainment. Real quick note here on, you know, I had mentioned to you John Aiello was on our show last week. A really, really interesting interview about a lot of wealthy people buying into professional sports content. Him and some of his friends from New Jersey are the majority owners of Chesenia, who is in Serie C, and now have gotten promotion to Serie B. So there's a windfall of finances. There's all kinds of things that change. He went back this weekend to their game against Perugia. They beat Perugia 2-0. They had already been promoted, but I got a video of him getting the trophy and then handing it to his players and stepping back. And it was just a cool moment. So you got all these celebrity owners now. Ryan Reynolds now and a bunch of celebrities are buying stakes in Necaxa in Liga MX. Eva Longoria, Mesut Ozil, Cade Upton, Odell Beckham Jr. I mean, this is a cornucopia of people. You know, you just wonder how they get together, if it's their agents and all. And a lot of it is that kind of stuff. Justin Verlander's another one. Bodie Miller, Richard Hamilton. They've all made recent investments in Necaxa, which I find really, really interesting. You know, how big the investments are, I don't know. Sometimes they're trade for the image and who's behind them. I don't know exactly how much money everybody's putting in. But people want to be around professional sports teams. Sunday, Longoria was in attendance at Necaxa's 5-2 loss at home to Monterrey, and Necaxa are ninth in the Liga MX table. So they are playing in one of the playoff games, right, against Querétaro, which Guillermo just mentioned. All right, let's get to our next guest here. Lone Star Sports and Entertainment, David Fletcher. Look, we got amazing soccer content coming through Houston this summer. We got Brazil-Mexico up at Kyle Field up in College Station. We've got the Copa America. We've got Leagues Cup with Inter Miami. Messi taking on Tigres of Monterey. It's crazy good stuff. I would get your tickets for this. LSSE.net. LSSE.net. Tickets are flying, as I know, but we're going to get an update on that right now. David Fletcher joins us from the great state of Arizona. David, how are you?
Glenn, it's great to hear your voice. I know you were rocking hard last night out at NRG, and your videos definitely prove you are a fan. You had it right up close. You were right there, man.
I was in the action. I mean, you know, it's interesting, though, because when you're that close, you see things close, right, with you know, Jagger, Richards, band members, right, like any show. But then today, when I saw people's videos from way back and just, you know, the giant screens and just the mass amount of people in there, I just thought some of those were the coolest videos. And quite frankly, you miss that when you're up front. So it's kind of a trade-off. And I know you saw the show. What'd you think?
I hope I can be as energetic as those guys are when I'm 80. They put on an amazing show, got their tour off to a great start, as they should, right in Houston. And, you know, I mean, it's hard to believe, because I know for fans like you who have seen him multiple times, that you know, this truly might be it probably is the last time that they're on stage. But boy, they did not go out quietly at all. So
that was some show. You know, I was thinking today, you know, well, where will I be at 80? And then I was like, well, I hope if I make 80, okay, that's number one. But where will I be at 80? I certainly will not be playing to what looked to be 70,000 or 80,000 people packed in there last night.
Packed house. Hey, you know, you mentioned it. I'm out, fortunately, today on some business in Scottsdale, Arizona. This is not a bad place to be when I'm 80, or, you know, 40, 50, 60, whatever you are. So, beautiful day out here, and every day's a beautiful day to talk about the beautiful game. We got a lot going on over at NRG this summer.
Yeah, catch us up and get us up to date. Of course, we know we can get tickets to all this amazing content coming through here, LSSE.net. But, you know, update us maybe on ticket sales, some things maybe we don't know, David.
Well, Glenn, look, you've talked about it so much over the last few months. The summer that we have here in Houston is just unlike any that we've ever seen. And it truly is an earned opportunity to have this much content at NRG Stadium, at Shell Energy Stadium. So many good things leading into and what certainly will follow the FIFA World Cup in 2026 this summer. though stands out above all else. The return of Copa America, NRG Stadium, getting three matches again, as we did in 2016. And I know your listeners know this because they're all very, very passionate soccer fans. The house is going to be rocking. Those matches are all, are on very much on track to be sold out. We're out of as many tickets as we can right now on all three matches. Really, wow. Just a question of when CONCACAF and CONMEBOL will release more. But they're taking their time and doing that. So, look, you still have an opportunity to find great group opportunities, suites, other experiences around those matches. Mexico versus Jamaica opening up the tournament for both teams on Saturday, June 22nd. Colombia and Paraguay will open up their tournament on Monday, June 24th. And we will host on the 4th of July the first quarterfinal of the tournament, which will feature the winner of Argentina's bracket versus the runner-up of Mexico's bracket. And, boy, you just think about the possibilities there. Pretty safe to say there'll be a lot of fireworks if those type of matchups happen in that quarterfinal. And Houston has deserved the chance to host them, and we're going to put on a show.
Pretty incredible. By the way, I keep guiding people a little to that. That Colombia-Paraguay match, it, to me, sticks out. Nestor Lorenzo, who's the coach of Colombia now, I don't think they've lost in 22. And with the connection to Colombians in Houston, I got to think that's a hot ticket, Colombia-Paraguay.
It is the hottest of the
really?
Three by far. Well over 50,000 tickets sold
Holy
for that match
smoke.
Already. It'll be a complete sellout. And, you look at the Colombian team, the success they're having on the field. Paraguay certainly no stranger to success in Copa America over the years. And that's a rivalry game. Two South American clubs, which really is what I think excites fans, is having the opportunity to see the high quality soccer that's played in CONCACAF. And now you're bringing in, some of the biggest brands in the world, including, of course, Argentina. This tournament is so unique. It's the biggest sporting event to hit North America since the 2016 Copa America, and just an incredible entree for fans of the sport or fans of sport to see just a taste of what will be coming to America in 26 with the World Cup.
Man, and the Colombian fans know how to party. I'm sure there was, last night it was amazing. I saw Argentine flags. I saw Brazilian flags. There were people flying in from South America for that show last night, Japan. That's pretty crazy. So Colombia, by the way, everybody knows they have Luis Diaz of Liverpool, Jefferson Lerma of Crystal Palace. I mean, they got guys playing in every league, Serie A, La Liga. Johan Mojica, who I'm trying to get on this show in an interview for, plays at Osasuna. John Lucchemi is at Bologna. Daniel Munoz, if people follow Crystal Palace, they'll know him. So it's pretty crazy where these guys are playing. They're playing in all the top leagues, many of these guys. Some of them are in Russia. Some of them are in Brazil, like Arias, who's at Fluminense. But, this is a team that's got guys playing in the best leagues in the world.
Well, that's what this event will showcase to a lot of Americans who maybe follow the sport on the fringes or certainly watch on Sunday mornings at the Premier League. But these type of players are through and through each of these clubs that are coming from CONMEBOL from South America. The quality of soccer is going to be only rivaled by the passion you see in the stands from the fans that are there supporting their clubs and their nations. It's such an amazing thing. We get to see it fairly regularly with CONCACAF Gold Cup. We've been very fortunate over the last few years to have some incredible matches, including both Jamaica and Mexico in recent years. And what these type of events do to the fan base, how they invigorate the communities here in Houston and throughout the region and throughout the states that people traveling in. It's really as unique a setting. I mean, I can aken it maybe to, because it's a little bit more mainstream, maybe aken it to a Saturday morning, on a college campus, a big time rivalry game in college football. But I mean, you just have no idea if you haven't experienced it, what these type of what these type of games do in terms of bringing out emotion and passion and pride in their communities. And that's a huge part of the excitement of bringing these type of matches on a consistent basis to Houston.
No, we love the Colombian fans in Houston. There's no question about that. He's David Fletcher, Lone Star Sports and Entertainment. You get your tickets for the Copa America. Once they get more, it's at LSSE.net, LSSE.net. Now, David, we also get a rare opportunity to see the Canary Yellow of Brazil in College Station. This is a unique, you know, another unique moment, taking on Mexico up there at Kyle Field, you know, going right into the heart of Aggieland with the five-time World Cup winners, Brazil. Tell us a little bit more about that match.
Well, just an incredible collaboration, Glenn, between obviously Soccer United Marketing, bringing the Mex Tour events around the country for well over a decade now, and the uniqueness of taking this event to Kyle Field, the first ever third-party event in Kyle Field. You know, they've hosted, obviously, 100,000-plus almost every weekend they can in the fall for years on end, but this will be a different type of atmosphere and one that I think will really just be a special night. The first ever match should be the largest crowd ever for a Mexican national team. Ticket sales, again, have been very, very strong for this one. Wow. And we're very excited that we've been able to join Soccer United Marketing and the Dynamo in along with Texas A&M and bringing this match to our region. Two of the biggest brands in the world getting a chance to play each other on what is arguably the biggest stage here in the state of Texas in Kyle Field. Doesn't get any bigger in terms of attendance than that. It'll be a really, really fun experience. Certainly a different one from Aggie game days, but one that I think a lot of people will open their eyes to. And a big week in College Station. They open up with that match on June 8th, and then a week later, George Strait, Chris Stapleton will fill the house again up there at Kyle Field. So they're not laying up there in College Station. Their first two events ever that are not Aggie game days are pretty special, to say the least.
I think it should be
a lot of fun and a great opportunity. Yeah, a great opportunity for fans that may not be able to make it down to NRG for the Mexico-Jamaica match to see that type of soccer played on a big stage. It'll be a lot of fun.
Incredible. Real quick, David, because we got to close the show tonight, but real quick, do you see the University of Texas and A&M doing more of this? Because I always wondered, you know, why maybe they didn't do more international soccer games. I do know they're two of the most richly endowed universities on the planet, so maybe there is no need for that. But do you see that maybe changing a little bit with the World Cup and potentially seeing, you know, UT host a game at Darrell K. Royal as well?
No question, Glenn. I mean, you look at the uniqueness of a variety of things, the uniqueness of these matches being played for the first ever. This summer you're going to see matches in Ohio State. You're going to see matches. You've seen them historically in the past. You'll see one at Notre Dame. You've seen matches at the Big House in Michigan. And really, it's just the expansion of the sport, its access to different, you know, fans and communities that really have not been traditional homes for the sport. But that's what happens as the game continues to grow here in the United States. And I do think that, you know, these are the type of things that people love to be a part of, the first evers. You know, that's a memory that a lot of people, whether they're Mexican national team fans, Brazilian national team fans, or just soccer fans, will take away that they got to be a part of. Well, I do think you're going to see a lot more of that as the sport continues to grow, no question.
David, thank you very much for coming on. Your schedule is as intense as the Rolling Stones. You've been in stadiums all over the place, including Monterrey, Mexico. Thank you for coming on, as always.
Love being on, Glenn. Next time, we'll talk up our friend Lionel Messi coming up against Tigres on August 3rd, too. That'll be a lot of fun in Houston just to complete the cycle. So,
unbelievable. We will do that. And by the way, he is scoring goals, as everybody knows here who's listening into the show tonight in Major League Soccer. Thank you, David.
Take care, Glenn.
All right, that does it tonight. Great stuff there from David Fletcher to end it. I mean, look, you want to grab your tickets to these things. Big thanks to Guillermo Lazo Romero, our producer. Thank you for tuning in here tonight. Podcast of the show at Spotify, Google, and Apple. Again, you can follow me at Glenn Davis Sock. at Soccer Matters GD on both Twitter and Instagram. And head over to YouTube, Soccer Matters. Okay, Wednesday night. Got another good show in store for you. I'll start dropping some guests for you tomorrow. That'll do it tonight. Remember, Soccer Matters, Wednesday, 6 o'clock Central.